Well, there's a new report out today on Seattle's groundbreaking minimum wage law. Hourly wages are up to $15 now for employees in some businesses, including fast food chains. But those employees, as a group, are now getting fewer hours. David Hyde of Here and Now contributor KUOW has more.
Over a pint of beer at the Five Point Cafe, a dive bar just south of the Space Needle in the heart of Seattle, owner Dave Meinert says he mostly supports Seattle's minimum wage increase, now up to $13 an hour for smaller businesses like his. But since the wage hike went into effect in 2015, he's also reduced total hours.
Yeah, it's not that we're cutting anyone's hours necessarily, but we're adding fewer hours on new shifts when we need to hire someone new.
That story makes sense to Mark Long. He's a professor at the University of Washington and one of the co-authors of a new study on Seattle's minimum wage hike. Long says it's basic economic theory that
if you raise the minimum wage, you're making it more expensive for employers to hire these workers.
But in practice, the question is, how did employers in Seattle actually respond to the hike? Long says when wages at first bumped up to just $11 an hour, there wasn't much difference. But
when Seattle increased its minimum wage to $13 an hour, we are finding evidence that there was a reduction in hours worked by low-wage employees, and the reduction in hours worked by low-wage employees was sufficiently great that it offset the increase in their hourly wages.
In other words, as the wage went up, low-wage workers got fewer hours. Some employers cut total hours. Long says others may have replaced workers with machines, or they went out of business, or they moved to other cities. All of that happened during a boom time when you would expect earnings to go up. And that's exactly what happened for the top 90% in Seattle, who saw a big jump. And the irony is that growing gap between rich and poor is what the minimum wage was supposed to address. And inequality is a top issue in the Seattle mayor's race this year.
In too many ways, for too many people, our incredible successes are also creating two Seattles.
That's former U.S. Attorney and Seattle mayoral candidate Jenny Durkin. The University of Washington study also notes that in other cities in Washington with similar rates of economic growth, but without the wage hike, total earnings also went up for low-wage workers by around 6%. But here in Seattle, low-wage workers' earnings are flat, because employers now offer fewer hours. Naveen Kumar's employees are feeling it. He owns several Subway sandwich shops. And as a franchise owner, he now pays at least $15 an hour. But he's cut hours.
We used to have four people at lunchtime, and now we have only two people working at lunchtime progressively over the course of last 2.5 years. From four people, when the minimum wage went up from 9.37 to 11, we went down to three people. We kept the same amount of people when it went to $13, when it went to $15 plus. We are now down to two people. And to be honest with you, we are splitting shifts between me and my wife, covering up lunch hours for our stores.
But not everyone in Seattle thinks the minimum wage is to blame. Like everyone else on the Seattle City Council, Tim Burgess is a minimum wage supporter. He's seen the new University of Washington study and another put out last week by the University of California, Berkeley's Institute for Research on Labor and Employment. And Burgess is skeptical that the drop in hours and flat earnings were caused by the wage hike.
At least in what we've seen so far from either of these studies, I don't think you can say that any negatives are the result of the minimum wage increase.
Burgess points to data that suggests low-wage workers were priced out of Seattle before the minimum wage hike went into effect, and to the fact that the hike has clearly made a difference in some people's lives.
It's helped me save more money and afford more things, and it's going to help me go to school in the fall. I'm going to move to Pullman, Washington, so it's been really beneficial for me.
Tyler Scheffler works 40 hours a week at a Walgreens in the Seattle neighborhood of Ballard. He plans to attend Washington State University in the fall. In a deep blue city like Seattle, it's likely that most leaders will point to these sorts of minimum wage success stories and try to find new ways to address rising economic inequality, like a city income tax.
We're getting ready to pass a city-based income tax for high-wage earners in the city. The tax structure in Washington State is terrible. It's unfair, inadequate, and it ranks near the bottom of the 50 states in transparency and fairness.
That's going to be easier said than done. There are no state or local income taxes under current Washington state law. But backers hope they can get a favorable ruling for a city income tax from the state Supreme Court. For Here and Now, I'm David Hyde in Seattle.